Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with legendary Kansas City jazz vocalist Deborah Brown on recordings, surviving COVID, and namely the upcoming November show she is very excited about. It will be on Thursday, November 10th, 2022 at 7 p.m. with the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra at the Kauffman Performing Arts Center, billed as the voice of Deborah Brown. She is one of the treasures in the music world and is a pure master of her craft, giving crowds the gift of her brilliance as a consummate artist and storyteller. We cover some great ground in this emerging post-COVID world conversation. Enjoy this interview.
But yeah, it's so great to catch up with you. I'm always so happy when you reach out and we catch up, and I think we talked during the pandemic, but the last time you had a project, which was bittersweet at the time, was right before the pandemic began when we were promoting Maxine's book.
That will always mark the pandemic for me.
Wow.
Yeah, the Dexter Gordon project.
You know, and it's wild because after that happened, I think it was during the summer of 2020, I reached out to Maxine because she was the last thing that I did before everything shut down. And I debated whether I was going to go to the college that day, but I decided to do it. And she signed my book, and I remember walking out of there, and I was like, how am I going to remember this day? And lo and behold, it is the most iconic autograph I've ever gotten in my entire life. And I told her that. And she told me that since that time, since I told her that, she always dates every autograph that she does from here on out.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So cool. She's totally hip, totally cool. But anyways, that time has been crystallized in time and space. But I will tell you, right now, it is so wonderful to hear that gigs are coming up. We're talking about getting back to it. So I guess that's my thing. Before we get into that, and we did talk during the pandemic, but we haven't properly since. How did you survive the pandemic, and how has it changed the way that you live your life?
Well, you know, that's a really deep question. A lot of people probably have so many different answers, so I'll give you my answer. It didn't go really that well. I thought it was going to be fine the first year. Actually, I was really tired. I had taken a year off. I thought, well, let me just take a year off and see what that feels like kind of a sabbatical. And so I took a year off in 2019 and decided to go back to work in 2020. So I was on my first tour in January, and I went to Sweden. I went with my husband, too. It was a really beautiful sold-out concert at the main concert hall in Stockholm. And then we came back, and I did a 10-day, pretty much sold-out tour of Russia, mostly in the eastern part of Russia, which is in the Siberia area, and we took, it was grueling because we had to take trains, and I'd never been on any place that cold before where you get out of the train and you look at it, looks like you've been in a deep freezer because snow is everywhere. And I realized in our traveling that the snow was what we stopped for so that they could, you know, so they could get it off of the wheels. They would have to stop every so often, and you'd hear this banging. And so, I mean, that whole trip was kind of an amazing trip, and it was such fun because the musicians were great. And then in March, when I had the tour with Dexter, with Dexter Gordon's wife, and that was such a great project, and then everything closed down, and I thought I'd only gone back to work for 3 months. And then it was sort of like, okay, what am I going to do? And I just slept. I tell you, I guess everybody did, but I just stayed sleeping until I realized, wait a minute. And I woke up, and I wrote a lot of letters to encourage people during that time. I wrote tons of letters every month, letters to people I didn't know, letters to people I did know, just to encourage them. And that filled up a lot of my days, and I shared like a Bible scripture here and there. And then that following year in 2021, I think it was when we got the second vaccine shot, something went wrong, and I was kind of out of commission for several months. And it wasn't very pleasant. Both my husband and I fell ill. But I still kept working and writing through everything. And I ended up in the spring in the hospital. So that was not very pleasant. But it did give me an opportunity to think about a lot of things. I wouldn't say that anything changed. I was always waffling about, I didn't want to be a singer who was of age, continuing on. And I thought about that. I thought about Betty Carter. I thought about Sarah Vaughan. They both stopped in their 60s. And I thought, well, because of death. So I thought, well, maybe that's what it is. You just sing till you die, you know. And so I really spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, what I had to share now. I listened to a lot of music from a lot of different backgrounds. I listened to a lot of the young singers that were carrying on despite the shutdown that we had. They kept making this music, and I just really educated myself is all I did. And I really enjoyed my 2 years, 2.5 years. I really enjoyed it. It gave me a lot of time to think and how I wanted to have my music. And, you know, I did a lot of technical things on my music too, just to make it, just as I grow older and the music continues to, my music keeps selling, you know, so I had to do some technical things about that. So I did that, signed up for agency that would help me to get my royalties, things like that. So practical things. So that's all I did. And now here it is, the moment I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for to do something really nice, and the big band has invited me. They invited me last year, and I thought, okay, I'll take a chance. Hopefully I'll be strong enough to do it, and I am strong enough to do it. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the rehearsals. And so I don't know if that's a little insight into what I had to go through.
And that's great. And, you know, what I'm hearing from a lot of people is, as tumultuous as this time was, it was almost as though that pause, that rest that we all had was so needed. And I would imagine for you, as busy as you've always been, was that kind of a part of it, that it was this thing that you didn't realize until it happened that you really did need this in your life?
I realized it in 2019 that I just needed to take that time off. And even though I took a year off in 2019, I still had the previous year's engagements in 2019 I had to finish off. So by the time 2020 came around, I was like, you know what, I wonder if I need another year off. And boom, it happened. It wasn't my fault.
For sure. So talk to me a little bit now. It's so wonderful to hear that things are happening. Talk to me a little bit about your itinerary right now. I know you got a show coming up here in Kansas City, but how have things opened up, and how is, like, the rest of this year looking for you?
Well, the rest of this year looks really slim, and the reason why is because I have not purposely booked anything.
So talk to me about this upcoming gig. Give me kind of an idea of how it came about and kind of give me some details on it.
So the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra, you know, the last time we played together was in Europe. We played together in Poland. They happened to have been in Germany on an engagement there, and then when I found out they were going to be in Germany, I called and said, "Would you like to come over to Poland for, you know, to pick up a few gigs over there?" And they did. And my the promoter over there said, "Hey, yeah, we've got a place for them, you know." So we went over there, had some good wine, ate some real good food, and had a really lovely time. And that was in time for us to come back to Kansas City, and we did a performance at the Jam, and Bobby Watson came and played with us there. So it was really a lot of fun to be with the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra. You know, my first gig with them was way back when Jim Mayer was heading the band, and that was in 2006, I think it was. And then Carrie Strayer was the big band. He invited me. And then Clint, when Carrie Strayer passed away, Clint became the leader of the big band. And we got a program together and presented that. And so it just feels like this has been like a constant, kind of a constant every once in a while I come and do something with the big band, and we try new things out. And so I'm really enjoying this band. And they're going to have a book that comes out that's going to chronicle many of the artists that they've invited through the years. So I'm going to be a part of that, you know, in their book and their CD that they're going to their vinyl release in the springtime. So the band is really, you know, I mean, it's really nice to have a band here in Kansas City. We've always had a band in Kansas City because I remember when I was 15 years old, my mom took me to a basement in a church, and they had a big band there, and she wanted them to hear me sing The Nearness of You, and they made me wait until the very end of the concert when they're all just about ready to pack up, and I started singing, and then they unpacked some of their instruments and start playing right along with me. So there's always been a big band here in Kansas City. It's a big band tradition. And that's what I really enjoy about the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra. They're continuing on that tradition of big bands in Kansas City.
The one thing that's been a part of this, you know, kind of post-COVID world we're getting into is that it's kind of accelerated people's, you know, plans and their outlook. And I'm curious with you, do you have any plans for recordings going overseas? What are you kind of looking at, kind of, you know, a little bit more short to long range for you?
This is my dream. My dream is to set up a studio here in Kansas City, considering my house, but it would probably be better to have a studio somewhere else, and I haven't figured that out yet, where I have a beautiful piano sound system, have the drum set and all the equipment for a trio, and then just invite people to come and play with me and then make some videos and record that. Because record sales are not what they should be. And everything is going now on, you know, like on film, like doing things on YouTube or Instagram, and those kind of things are what people are looking at. So that's my future plan, is to do something. That's my dream, I would say. And as far as traveling, just traveling in the United States is the only thing I have right now. I've actually turned down offers for tours in Europe. You know, and it's really a sad thing, but we just can't afford to get ill at this point until they get things a little bit more secure. And I know people are traveling and they're doing, but at the same time, there's a lot of people that I know that are still getting COVID. And anything that comes on my throat as a singer, it goes on my throat and it just is horrible. So I'm so happy that I've not contracted COVID or anything like that. And I certainly don't want to pass that on to my husband, who has respiratory problems anyway. So it's just being here in Kansas City. We've got a lot of great musicians here, a lot of people I have a lot of fun playing with, and it would be nice to have a record of musicians in Kansas City, at least for me, playing music for me. The other thing that I'm doing too is I've got really good friends around the world, and everybody wants to come to Kansas City. So I'll be doing my first booking with a good friend of mine, Jan Harrington, who'll be, you know, she'll just be popping in for a few days, and that'll be something that I'm really looking forward to, hearing her. She's a great blues singer, and hopefully there will be other people that want to pop in too, and there'll be some place for them to play here and also to do in my little studio.
You know, a part of what you're doing right now, you know, being here in Kansas City and, you know, celebrating the musicians and bringing people in, it's a part of, you know, the revival, so to speak. It's a part of the awakening and everybody getting back to it. You know, no one really knew how the reconstruction of the music scene was going to be because, you know, when it went down, it was gone for a couple of years. But what are you seeing on your end? How are you seeing the jazz community coming back stronger, better, and wiser?
Well, once again, I mean, Kansas City still has those clubs going on. You know, the musicians have to work. They have to work somewhere. They want to work. You know, they have music in their hearts, and they're going to do whatever they can in order to do that. And I think it's remarkable that through the pandemic that people still, they went out to their driveway, and they recorded it, and we saw it, you know, online. The when when you're a musician, you have to get it out. You just have to. That's why we never really retire. We just fade away. So I'm very impressed with the way that the music scene is now. I say there's a lot more. There's a lot more young ones getting into it, into the scene now, and they want to be a part of it. And they are given an opportunity to go into these clubs, invite their friends, and they're doing jazz standards and doing it very nicely. So I'm very impressed with what's going on here, and I hope it continues. And I hope more venues open up. A few more venues have opened up. So I'm thinking that we're still pretty solid.
I agree. Deborah Brown, thank you for taking a minute out. And as far as I'm concerned, you are a legend here. And anybody that has the opportunity to catch you live should scramble as hard as they can to get tickets to do that. Next Thursday, you will be performing at 7 o'clock at the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra. And where can people get tickets, anything they need to know to get ready for that show?
I've been recommending that people just call there for the seats and to figure out. Just give Kaufman a call. Not the Kansas City Jazz Orchestra, they don't take tickets, but the Kaufman does. And you can actually call them and get a good seat. Because for me, you know, when I go online and I take a look, I get a little bit confused. Honestly, I'm good at the internet, but for some reason, I think it would be easier to just give them a call at the Kaufman Theater directly. And hope to see you there because we got some great arrangements.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, we will definitely be there. Deborah, it's so wonderful to catch up with you. Good luck with this. And you mentioned a recording, and I was just thinking how wonderful that would be. So I'm going to keep me on your radar, and it's so great to catch up with you. Thanks for taking a minute out today.
Thank you so much, Joe. You take care now, man.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview. We give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Kansas City and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Deborah for always being a pillar of strength in the world of jazz. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.